Welcome to the U.S. Politics Daily Brief. I'm your host, A.I. Michelle. Here are our top stories today. First, the Education Department is set to resume collections on defaulted federal student loans for the first time since 2020. Second, several GOP-led states are targeting driver's licenses issued to immigrants who are illegally in the United States. Third, a Democratic senator is hosting businesses concerned that the enormous uncertainty of tariffs could harm the crucial tourism industry. Finally, we'll explore what expert-level talks indicate for the progress of the Iran-U.S. nuclear negotiations. Education Department to resume collections on defaulted federal student loans for first time since 2020. The Department of Education has announced that it will resume collections on defaulted federal student loans starting in May, marking the first time such collections have occurred since they were paused in March 2020 at the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. The pause was initially implemented to provide relief to borrowers during the economic uncertainty caused by the pandemic, but officials now warn that the federal student loan portfolio is facing a fiscal cliff if repayments do not restart. A senior department official expressed concern over the growing number of borrowers at risk of delinquency and default, with only 40% of borrowers current on their repayments. The official stated that 4 million borrowers are currently in late-stage delinquency, meaning they are between 91 and 180 days late on their payments. The administration argues that American taxpayers should no longer act as collateral for these loans, emphasizing the need for borrowers to meet their obligations. To address this issue, the Education Department plans to implement a communication strategy to inform borrowers of their status and encourage participation in auto debit programs to reduce delinquency rates. Additionally, the department is preparing to collaborate with lawmakers on reforming the higher education and student loan repayment systems, recognizing Congress's role in creating a more affordable and sustainable framework for students. Bipartisan efforts are already underway, including the Employer Participation Repayment Act, which would allow employers to contribute up to $5,250 tax-free to their employees' student loans. This legislation, introduced in both the Senate and the House, aims to ease the financial burden on borrowers and promote responsible loan repayment practices. The broader implications of resuming collections on these loans extend to the political landscape as well, as it aligns with the Trump administration's agenda to reduce federal influence in education. The administration has expressed its intent to abolish the Education Department, though it plans to maintain essential functions such as Pell Grants and services for special needs students through other agencies. This move could significantly alter the dynamics of educational governance and funding in the United States. In other news, GOP states target driver's licenses issued to immigrants illegally in the U.S. Several Republican-led states are moving to invalidate driver's licenses issued to immigrants who are illegally residing in the United States. Florida has already enacted a law that makes it a misdemeanor to drive with such a license, with penalties including fines and potential jail time. Wyoming and Tennessee are following suit, with similar legislation either enacted or pending approval. These laws specifically target licenses from states like Connecticut and Delaware, which issue licenses with special markings to those unable to prove lawful presence. The push to restrict driver's licenses for immigrants illegally in the country is part of a broader conservative agenda to enforce stricter immigration controls. This contrasts with the approach of 19 states and Washington, D.C., which issue licenses regardless of legal status. The federal government, through the Real ID Act, sets national standards for state licenses, requiring proof of legal residency. However, states still have the liberty to issue non-Real ID licenses under their own criteria. Supporters of these measures argue that they are necessary to discourage illegal immigration and ensure that only legally residing individuals have access to state services. They believe that these laws will help uphold the rule of law and protect state resources. However, critics argue that such measures are largely symbolic and may not have a significant impact on immigration patterns. They also raise concerns about the potential for these laws to instill fear among immigrant communities, deterring them from participating in everyday activities like driving. The implications of these policies extend beyond immigration, touching on issues of state sovereignty and federal oversight. The Justice Department is challenging a similar law in New York that restricts federal access to driver's license data. As these legal battles unfold, the debate over immigration policy continues to be a contentious issue, reflecting deep divisions in American society. Next up, Democratic senator hosts businesses concerned. Enormous uncertainty of tariffs could kill crucial tourism industry. Senator Peter Welch of Vermont has been actively engaging with small businesses across the state, hosting a series of roundtables to address concerns over the impact of tariffs imposed by the Trump administration. These tariffs, which are part of a broader trade policy, have raised alarms among businesses that rely heavily on tourism and international trade. At a recent meeting in Stowe, Vermont, near the Quebec border, business owners expressed their worries about rising costs and the potential decline in tourism. Jen Kimmich of Alchemist Brewery highlighted how tariffs on aluminum, despite being sourced domestically, are affecting her business due to the global nature of production. Her brewery has already had to increase prices to offset these costs. The tourism industry, a significant economic driver in Vermont, is particularly vulnerable. Krista Bodish, owner of the Old Stagecoach Inn, noted a decline in Canadian visitors, who typically make up a substantial portion of her clientele. She shared a letter from a Canadian tourist who canceled their trip due to the political climate, illustrating the far-reaching consequences of these tariffs on cross-border relations. The broader implications of these tariffs are a growing concern for businesses dependent on international supply chains. Caleb Magoon of PowerPlay Sports emphasized the challenges posed by disrupted supply chains, affecting everything from product availability to pricing. Senator Welch, recognizing the bipartisan nature of these concerns, co-sponsored a bill to repeal the tariffs, arguing that they are a self-inflicted wound on the economy. As businesses navigate these uncertainties, the potential for long-term damage to Vermont's tourism industry and broader economic health looms large. The debate over tariffs underscores the tension between protectionist trade policies and the economic realities faced by local businesses. As the Trump administration continues to pursue its trade agenda, the political and economic landscape remains in flux, with significant implications for both domestic policy and international relations. In other news, what do expert-level talks signal for the progress of the Iran-U.S. nuclear negotiations? Negotiations between Iran and the United States over Tehran's rapidly advancing nuclear program are moving to expert-level talks. This marks a significant step forward, indicating that both sides are keen to delve into the technical details of the negotiations. However, analysts caution that this does not necessarily mean a deal is imminent. The talks involve Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi and U.S. Mideast Envoy Steve Witkoff, focusing on Tehran limiting its atomic program in exchange for the lifting of economic sanctions. Kelsey Davenport, a director at the Arms Control Association, suggests that agreeing to technical talks implies both sides are committed to realistic negotiation objectives. Yet, the path forward is fraught with potential challenges. Key issues include the extent of uranium enrichment Iran can undertake, Tehran's ballistic missile program, and the scope of sanctions relief. Such topics require detailed discussions to avoid spun wheels, as noted by Richard Nephew, a fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. The 2015 nuclear deal serves as a backdrop, where Iran agreed to strict limits on uranium enrichment and stockpiling. Today, the stakes are higher, with Iran enriching uranium to 60% purity, a step away from weapons-grade levels. Experts stress the importance of a strong technical team to negotiate these intricate details and ensure compliance. Despite optimistic signals, both sides have been cautious in public statements. Notably, a recent comment by Witkoff on uranium enrichment levels sparked a swift response from Iran, highlighting the delicate nature of these negotiations. Nevertheless, experts like Alan Ayer, a former U.S. diplomat, remain encouraged by the pace and progression of the talks. As the expert talks unfold, the potential for a breakthrough remains contingent on addressing these complex issues. The involvement of technical experts is crucial, as they hold the key to crafting a viable agreement. Corey Hinderstein from the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace expresses cautious optimism, emphasizing the critical role of these experts in achieving a successful outcome. The trajectory of these negotiations could significantly impact U.S. foreign policy and international relations, particularly in the Middle East. As talks progress, the world watches closely, hopeful for a resolution that promotes stability and security. All right, that's a wrap for this episode. If you enjoyed this brief and would like to stay updated on latest episodes, don't forget to click follow in your podcast app. Thanks again for listening, and hope to catch you next time.